Hey everybody, welcome to the Ben and Noah Show. I'm Ben Sofer.
And I'm Noah Lien, and thank you guys for watching again. This is our fourth episode. It's really nice to see all of you. And with us today, we have two wonderful, wonderful people here.
First duo episode.
Yeah! It is...
Kari Hoogston.
Yep. And...
Sarah Key Cummings.
Thank you guys so much for coming. Well, first of all, we'd like to introduce a little bit about... You know, talk a little bit about yourselves. Can you tell us what you are doing here in New York City right now?
Currently, I'm teaching swim lessons, but I just graduated from Syracuse University with a BFA in acting. So taking a break from acting, kind of burned out from the BFA, but I'm going to get back into the audition scene soon, trying to like email people, see if they need assistance in the industry. I want to go into directing one day, so just trying to like know as many people as possible.
Beautiful.
Get my foot in the door somewhere.
You say acting, you're talking about like theater or film?
Yeah,
or?
I like theater. We had a lot of training in film as well. But I love theater. I'm really into like sketch comedy and like improv and just like I'm a comedian at heart, so I thought
nice.
Anything funny I'll gravitate towards.
Love that.
But,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
What about you, Sarah?
Yeah, I also went to Syracuse with Kari. I got a BFA in acting and a BA in English as well. And yeah, I'm just, I guess right now technically I am an elderly caregiver and after school teacher, you know, to pay the bills. But I've just been doing a lot of like, you know, non-union auditions. Also, I've been doing like voiceover work and I've been getting into like the audiobook recording scene. So that's kind of like my most recent endeavor. I built like a little like sound studio under my bed and I've just been like
a cool studio.
Cooking in the studio.
All right. That's
yeah.
Awesome. It's really cool to see like a little bit of a snapshot of where you guys are right now. I'm curious, so how did each of you first get into theater as a whole? Just like were you born with the love for the stage, or was this something that you found out?
Yeah, I've been acting for a long time. My grandmother was like a theater critic, like writing for the paper and stuff, so she would take me to see a lot of stuff. My mom went to see Phantom of the Opera when she was pregnant with me.
Whoa.
So she likes to joke that like I was kicking and like trying to get out and get on stage. but my first like production was my grandmother enrolled me in like a Broadway bound players like community theater thing in LA. So we did like Cinderella, I was a little mouse, and we did Aladdin for some reason. It was a white community. I don't know what I played in that, but yeah, the Cinderella production, I like made a lot of friends and I was like the smallest little like 3-year-old mouse just kind of like standing on stage bopping around, but I had like a blast. And then from there on out, I was like, this is what I want to do.
Sweet.
And I didn't start taking it like super seriously until end of middle school, beginning of high school, because it was always just something that I was like doing for fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized people get paid to do it, and I was like, that's
they
pretty
do?
Cool.
What?
You can get paid to do it.
Wow.
haven't been
it's
yet.
It's hypothetically possible.
Yeah.
It's happened.
If the stars
it's
right.
I heard it's happened. But I was like, even if I'm making no money, I'm okay with that.
I love that.
That's why you got side hustles.
That's right.
That's true.
Side hustles.
Yeah. I didn't really grow up doing theater. I started out with choir, actually. When I was a kid, I started doing choir in the third grade.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it because I was a very shy kid, but I loved singing. And I mean, what's nice about being in a choir is that you're just up there with a whole group of people.
Yeah.
So you don't
mm-hmm.
have to like... You're not, like, in the spotlight. But I did that all through, you know, elementary and middle school. I would do, like, school plays when I had to. But, and then I got to high school, and I did a couple, like, cabarets. And that's kind of how they roped me in.
I'm interested in knowing
yeah.
your spotlight. So you initially didn't want to be in the spotlight.
No, I had awful, like, stage fright.
Oh,
real
wow.
bad. Yeah.
How did you overcome that, though? Or you never did?
Well, okay.
Or are you still scared?
I think that the nerves are really important. I think that nerves, There's some like quote from some actor. I wish I could actually remember who it was, but someone was like, and it stuck with me. And someone was like, the first time I step out on stage and I'm not nervous is the last time I will ever step out on stage. Because I think like the nerves are kind of important because that's kind of like the magic of the performance.
Mm, yeah.
But
yeah,
in terms
you're not
of
nervous, you're like just like
going through the motions.
Going through the motion.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But in terms of like working through it, it was just kind of like through experience. I mean, I remember like doing dress rehearsals for the cabarets that I was in. And I would just be on the stage. It was like I was walking on a treadmill. I was just walking in circles while I was singing. And they were like, Sarah, you gotta play at your feet. And then it's cool because it kind of, I went like the musical theater route just, and then into like straight acting, which is where I am now. Yeah, and what's nice about a musical is like, I kind of got the same feeling that I had in choir where it's like, oh, we're all putting this on together. And like, we've already rehearsed it and done so many times by the time we get to perform it. So we're just like sharing that.
Yeah, and then you can like really find the fun in it.
Yeah.
Once you've like gotten your lines and everything, and then you can kind of play and explore it.
Play with it.
Fun.
I love that.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the magic of like theater. I think, I'm curious, like, so when you graduated high school, both of you were going into the University of Syracuse with the idea that you're going to do straight plays.
Yeah, so I actually auditioned as a musical theater major. And they like reviewed my tapes, we got the call back, and then it was like, oh, you can come for acting. We don't want you in the musical theater program. We don't want you to sing for us, we don't want you to dance for us. But you can act, that's okay. It was good. They gave us like options to take singing lessons and stuff and jazz dance for the actor.
Wait, what?
They that was one class they
first class I
they
got
offered
at Syracuse University was jazz dance for actors.
It was the only like dance class for the non-dancer that like the acting majors were allowed to take without like taking a ballet placement class and test. So there wasn't really a lot of ways for us to break into those dance classes. But
what about the experience in
something.
What about the experience in the University of Syracuse? Like how was that like working with straight plays?
It was great. I definitely didn't do a lot of straight plays before Syracuse, and I was forced to read a lot of plays as part of our like drama and context and development of theater classes. We read a lot of plays. I was never a play reader before, and I was just exposed to a lot of different plays. And I was like, oh, this is actually very cool. It's not just musicals from Broadway. There's a lot of really good work that's getting written and produced.
Love that.
It really was.
Yeah.
So you got into Syracuse for acting, and I understand that there's like a program at Syracuse where for the last semester you're in the city.
Yes, the Tepper program.
Yeah,
that was
what's
a big
that?
Part. That was a big part of the reason that I applied to Syracuse and wanted to go there in the first place.
Yeah, I can talk about it a little bit. It's so basically they kind of like structure the degree so that you'll finish everything that you would need to take on campus before your last semester of senior year.
Like credits and all that?
And then when you get to senior year, you usually have like two classes you need left to take, possibly. And you kind of, like, the custom is to, like, go and, like, sign a lease for, like, 6 months or, like, a year to kind of, like, be there after you graduate. And then once you come to Tepper, where the rest of your degree has kind of been, like, learning, like, technical and, like, creative, like, acting skills, kind of developing your craft, Tepper was mostly about, like,
industry focused.
Yeah, learning about the industry, and like we had classes with casting directors. Kari took like a really cool producing class.
Yeah, Broadway producers.
Yeah.
Ben Holtzman.
Wow.
Great class.
Yeah.
We learned how to like what happens to produce a Broadway show.
That's so
sick.
That sounds like a really good program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Honestly, I gotta say. Like I feel like a lot of other, like, I mean, not that I've ever taken a BFA program, but like I feel like a lot of it's very theoretical and abstract. To be able to get that hands-on experience, like in undergrad,
that's a lot of the reason that the Tepper program is so like revered within Syracuse and within the BFA community, is because a lot of BFAs are very like focused on what happens after you get a job,
and not as focused on actually getting
the job and how to market yourself and how to audition for things and where to find postings of everything and how to reach out to agents and managers and how to just basically market yourself as an actor.
Well, that's like what a great program you were in. So you moved to New York City. You guys were both like primarily students. So, but was that time to kind of like explore the city? You know, figure out how you wanted to settle in and.
We had this one class where that gave us a bunch of tasks to go and explore the city. So we were incentivized to go do things on our semi-limited time off.
Yeah. it was a little bit tough. Like the course schedule was definitely no joke. Mm-hmm. Like pretty long hours, but it was fun. Like they were little things like go and take a selfie with like this, like, it was like it would be like a riddle you have to like solve.
Oh, yeah. That's cute.
Or they give you a picture of what the place was, but they wouldn't tell you where it was. So you had to
just
do your research and
that's
figure out where kinda that
easy.
Picture
they also
but it was. Like the
no, no, I get it. It works. Like you get what you want out of it, but that would just piss me off.
It was evil because I was trying to work on the weekends. I had a part-time job at a gym.
Oh.
So I was spending my Saturdays and Sunday working at this gym as like a spa attendant lifeguard. And then at 4 p.m. I was getting off work and having to go to Central Park and walk around for 3 hours to get pictures of all these landmarks.
We also had another class that was like, they would take us to see two shows every week. A few weeks it was like less, but
like Broadway shows. Or?
Yeah,
it was like we saw a lot
of Broadway,
off Broadway.
Wow,
kind of mainly that. We saw
and
like
downtown theater,
an immersive
theater
show. We saw like Life and Trust downtown.
Yeah.
And that was like such a valuable experience, just because like you get to see and like put like a face and just kind of like an image to a lot of these theaters that like you'll see on Playbill, they're like EPAs or something. And also we got to see a lot of stuff that our professors were working on, which I think really emphasized like the whole like network of it all, which is like kind of what I think is, I mean, the most like useful thing you get from like doing a degree in theater is just like the people that you meet.
Yeah, and then partnered with that class, my producing class, we would always talk about like the business side of each show and break down what it costs to put up, what they're making or losing on any given week, who produced it, what kind of work does that company typically produce. So it was just cool to see all these different kinds of theater, because there's obviously the big Broadway shows that we went to go see.
Hmm.
And it was like, oh, we're seeing Sunset Boulevard and Wicked and maybe Happy Ending. And we also saw a lot of, downtown theater that was very small houses, and not these big Broadway names that everybody is aware of.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably artificial to just see, like, the big Broadway show.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You want to get, like, a
full picture.
Realistically, most of
us
are going to be working in downtown
in
Brooklyn theaters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And realistically, all those plays started in those settings.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Yeah,
no, I think that's really, really cool and really insightful. I mean, I kind of wish we had something like that. That would have been kind of awesome to be a part.
No, I mean, what you're talking about, I mean, it sounds like sort of like a co-op thing, where like you do your core education at one place, and you have this like idea in mind from your degree, and then you transfer that over into like the industry and the actual setting. And I agree. I think I could have benefited from that.
But I'm curious now. So, with that like kind of little journey that you've had throughout college, I mean, you must have graduated with this like, okay, you know, like at least I'm in New York City right now, like, okay, now it's like the real start to my life now. So how has it been for y'all, and like just like walk us through thought process that you had behind everything? And I mean, we're only like a couple months from graduation, so how's life been?
Also, how it maybe has changed since like when you first started? Because I know you can have certain expectations.
Yeah,
and then mm-hmm. only get
for sure.
Support, you
know. Yeah, I was, to be honest, I was really thankful for like kind of the energy surrounding graduation that we got to have by moving to New York early, because I think like that post grad transition. It's just a beast for like anybody.
Yeah.
Especially like if you've gone through a very like just like, you know, classical, like been in school since like preschool every single
mm-hmm.
year for your entire life. Like, it's kind of a big thing. But I think living in New York, it was nice because, you know, we went and like we took a trip to Syracuse to like have our graduation.
And then came back.
And then came back.
Mm-hmm.
And at first I went to a lot of like EPAs and like auditions, like getting up early in the morning.
What's an EPA?
So an EPA is an equity principal audition.
Whoa!
Which this is a big term for actors
getting
written
in New York City.
Whoa!
EPA.
EPA.
ECC.
So yeah, there's an EPA, there's an ECC, and that's
equity chorus call.
Those are the two equity calls that you'll see most often online. An equity chorus call is like a dance call
mm-hmm.
for a musical. So that's kind of like the classical audition, like in a huge studio with like full of dancers. And then an EPA is usually either for like speaking parts. Sometimes it'll have singing in it too. But yeah, so I would go, and when you're non-union, you can attend the EPAs and just be there like on a wait list. So you show up and you don't necessarily get seen. Most of the time you don't actually get seen, but
it's
you kind of just
asterisk there,
that's
like
the grind.
like stand
yeah.
by in an airport. Yeah.
Most
pretty
of
much,
us,
basically,
yeah.
It's,
yeah, it's the non-TSA
yeah.
line. But like the asterisk there is that most of us are going to be non-union. Like for the majority
yes.
of fresh graduates,
mm-hmm.
unless you have like a ton of credits to your name already graduating from your university,
yeah.
you probably will be non-union. And
yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of programs don't have that too. Like, I mean, most where you like get a lot of these credits, it's
yeah.
not it, it's
yeah.
it's few and far between.
You gotta do like it out, like outside of school.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
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 Right.
Yeah.
So how is it?
It's been like, yeah, it's definitely kind of a mixed bag, and it's like an interesting thing. You can really only like learn by doing it. I feel like every audition that I go to like widens my understanding of it, and also. Recently, the rules have been changing a lot for non-union,
okay.
which
yeah.
is weird. Kind of like when we were still in school in the spring, there was this thing called like unofficial lists
mm-hmm.
where people, and there's this thing called the new list, which
N-U.
Was
N-U.
Yeah,
N-U,
non-union unofficial list.
Okay.
So
N-U-U list. N-U-U
list.
Okay.
But basically people would like sign up online. And then someone who was non-union would, like, bring that to the audition and just hope that the monitor would be like, okay, we'll accept this. But most of the time the monitor was like, no, this isn't the real list.
So it got
and
very messy.
People would put up lists, take down lists. So they...
Basically, the non-union members were trying to unionize. So...
yes, basically.
Wow.
They were like, wait a minute, this sounds familiar.
But we also didn't have the money for
yes.
union. the
yes.
actual union fees,
yes.
right? Yeah.
So they banned... unofficial lists.
Yeah.
So now if you want to be seen, you have to show up at the building and get your name on the list.
When
but,
it opens.
Yes. But
which
then
is when.
recently there's been a move now where they request that you actually show up. A lot of auditions are requesting that you show up when the audition time starts.
Oh,
oh
the only building now
gosh.
That does the when you open thing is Actors Equity.
Oh.
Which there are a lot of auditions there.
Yeah.
So for Actors Equity, the practice, if you're non-union, and this is not what everyone who's non-union does. You can technically show up whenever you want.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to show up and be like, if your goal is like, I want to show up and I want to be the first person on the list today, which is not everybody's goal,
mm-hmm.
You would show up to the building probably at like 5:45 a.m., 5:30, depending on like how popular the audition is, and you line up outside, and then at 6 a.m., they unlock the doors and you go in and you write your name on the list. And then,
how long are the lines?
It depends on the audition.
They're not too bad. I've never seen one that's like longer than like 20 people in the morning.
It's like a rush.
But a lot of times, I mean, I've been going to a lot of auditions in the summer, which is kind of the slow season. So a lot of times me and my friends would show up and it would just be us standing there for like 15 minutes while like the doorman is like cleaning the sidewalk and we're just like,
hi.
Yeah, but it's always fun. It's fun because you'll see like people who it's like their first time or people who are like very seasoned and everybody's just chatting in the non-union line at like, or the line for everyone at the Actors Equity building at like 5:30 in the morning.
That's and then you did mention like you had to come back still for the audition, right?
Yeah, so if you're lucky, you can, you know, sign up, leave, go to sleep, and then come back. Sometimes people will stay.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the auditions usually start at like 9 a.m. And so basically how the list works is that on an EPA day, they have appointments that Equity actors sign up for.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's first priority. If you have an appointment, you'll get your appointment. However, if there's an empty appointment slot because someone doesn't show up, there are a few different rungs of the ladder.
There's an alternate list.
There's an alternate A list.
Yeah.
And then there's an alternate B list, which these are alternates who are Equity actors who couldn't get an appointment but still want to audition. And then
there's
EMC.
Equity member candidate.
Yeah.
Right.
So if that's
kind of
the requirements to join Equity, but just haven't like paid your dues or like actually done the initiation stuff, you are considered an EMC. And you're a level below union, but you're above the non-union people. So you get seen first above all the non-equity people.
And the last tier is the non-equity.
No.
And fun fact, people cannot become EMC anymore.
Oh.
Like all of the EMCs, because they changed the rules for joining Equity a few years ago.
Yeah,
because
there's no credits anymore. It's not a credit basis.
All of the EMCs are like, I think it's the coolest thing ever. All of the EMCs are like
endangered.
Like, yeah. It's like, I bet you're losing numbers every day.
I know.
Like, there's only so many of them.
And eventually
they'll
all join the union.
It's like a cool class.
Wait, so if you're an EMC, wait, so instead of becoming an EMC if you don't pay your dues, you just like...
You just don't be in the union.
You're
not
union,
you're
back to non-union again. Okay,
okay.
Woof.
Yeah.
Woof.
Woof.
Woof. I know, it's
that sounds really... Like, what are the... How realistic is it for a non-union member to be seen? And like, if you could give a wild shot, like, I mean,
it depends, right?
It definitely depends. And I haven't been to any EPAs because that sounds exhausting, and I've only been out of school for
yeah.
minutes. But
yeah.
Sarah's fun to
them. No, it's definitely like grueling, and at times I'm like, a lot of people will tell you like, you shouldn't waste your time doing that. But if it's like doesn't cost you that much effort, I'm like an early riser anyways. I don't mind like.
That's great.
But
that's great for you.
For you.
But it really does depend on the audition. If it's a Broadway play, or I guess I haven't been to EPAs that are for like musicals, I will say.
Okay.
So that's a different ballgame. But if it's like a Broadway play, it's probably gonna be pretty popular. It also depends on the pay. There was one EPA that I went to that I like walked in and got seen immediately, and there was no one in the waiting room, and I was like, what's going on? And I was like, oh, it's because it's like the lowest possible rate of pay that you could get for.
At least
play.
It was paid though.
Yeah.
He's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it depends. It depends on the subject matter too. Like if it's a really popular
title.
Yeah, and it also depends on the people who are running the audition. Sometimes you have casting directors, casting people who are like, they start the audition and they're like immediately, sorry guys, we're closing the audition, meaning they won't see any non-union, but, you know, we'll accept drop-offs, like you can give us your headshot or something. But they'll do that right at the beginning of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are other casting directors who are like, okay, I'm going to really try to push through to see as many non-union as possible if time allows, so you guys can stay here and I'll try, but it's like it's really a mixed bag.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Here's a question. So I mean all this stuff, just, you know, like waking up at the crack of dawn. Like, I mean, it's like it's a commitment. But on top of that, like one of the themes that we've talked about, we can say that now because we've had like four episodes. You know, one of the themes is that, you know, you still gotta live. Like you still gotta eat. So like as like recent grads in New York, how have you guys like found that like balancing act? And if you're still figuring it out, I mean, still fine.
Yeah, I mean, I have been just working pretty much full time as a swim instructor. That's paying the bills. Mm-hmm. But I definitely would love to get back into like doing auditions and stuff, because it's definitely very hard to spend my 1 or 2 days off a week going to an EPA, and that's like the last thing that I want to do when I get up on my day off. So it's definitely a balancing act of like, I get home from work and I send a bunch of emails and beg somebody for a job, and then inevitably get no response.
It's definitely like, I feel like it's catching the train like when it passes, and not necessarily like, I haven't been to an EPA in a while, to be honest, because I've been kind of, I don't know, just because like I haven't had the real like energy to do it, but I also know that like I am going to want to go back out there and do it one day. So like I never want to
like force yourself
because you're right, like it's important to have a life. And I when I was looking for work, I was very much trying to like structure it. It's like, okay, how can I, you know, make as much as I need but also have enough hours in the day to continue to do creative work. So I'm kind of actually really still trying to figure out the balancing act of like, I have like 25 hours a week of work, which is like not great for supporting yourself, but then it's like, well, I'm hoping I can make money through creative endeavors. It's it's kind of a complicated thing.
I also requested to reduce my hours for the fall teaching schedule, because I'm also a visual artist and I sell painted glassware and like canvas and wood art and stuff. So KARROTT.S in Syracuse I sold it in local coffee shops, and I would put like painted
That's
records
so
up
cool.
I made a lot of like passive income that way, also lifeguarding and being an artist. But this summer I've had zero energy to do anything except sit at my computer and write cover letters and send emails when I get home and watch TV. I really want to get back into like that side of being creative too. So not just being on stage or doing theater admin or directing or anything. I want to like be a full rounded artist.
And that's understandable.
Hard to balance everything, but I'm working it out.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I think like that balancing thing is just like, you don't want it to just be like, oh, I'm doing the grind. And I'm grinding and I'm grinding and I'm grinding. And then you either like just like completely devote yourself to work, or like it becomes to the point where you like don't even enjoy the art that you're doing.
I think that's why I've enjoyed taking a break this summer from trying to audition. And I've sent in zero tapes, like done zero audition stuff. I've just been sending resumes for theater admin work and internships. But I am now getting excited to go back and audition and act and stuff. And I think if I was kept being on that grind of trying to self-tape without getting anything, I think I would have burned myself out more, and I would have grown to like despise acting.
It's very non-linear, the route that you take with your, I think that's something that I've been learning a little bit more about, like when I'm hearing the stories.
There's no like one like route or like journey, and like people will always like offer what advice they can from their own life experience, but at the end of the day, like the only person who's going to know what to do with like the cards that you've been dealt is yourself. So I feel like a lot of it is just like,
that's true.
You know, being kind to yourself. Something I always say is just like, if I can just do like, something I always say to myself is like, if I could do just like one thing today to like further my creative self, whether that's like drawing, or like reading a play, or like memorizing a new monologue, or sending an email or something.
Yeah.
But it's just like, just trying to do one thing I found is like a nice way to kind of, you know, get through just like the the sea of it all and like of all the possibilities and things, because it's a lot coming to New York. There's
yeah.
just like
yeah.
so
yeah.
much
know,
that you could
it's overwhelming.
Could be doing
it is
all
very
time.
Overwhelming.
It's,
yeah.
yeah. Yeah.
Well, one question that we ask a lot of people is, you know, because we all have different perspectives on this, just, you know, coming from so many different places and backgrounds. What advice do you think you would have, whether that's to yourself or to just other people who might be watching, who are trying to get started creatively? What would you say in like to motivate them or keep them going?
I think remembering like why you do it in the first place is really important. And not forgetting that you do it because you love it and not because it's a job. And if you're only in it for the money, it's not gonna work. And not burning yourself out,
yeah.
trying to like kill yourself to get ahead. Chill out.
That's definitely
chill out. It's not that deep.
It's a definitely one for me because it's just like, oh, I'm not doing enough. I'm missing out on stuff or all those kinds of things. Definitely on the route to burnout if you keep like, I don't know, fermenting in those thoughts in your head. Yeah.
And don't let other people's success keep you from like thinking that you're not good enough.
Because I
know a lot of our classmates have gone on to like book right out of college and sign with agents, sign with managers, and do all this cool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really important to be happy for them and not let that affect your journey.
And your self-value
wow.
as well.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because
it also helps your journey.
I got a chart.
Yeah.
Man. Wow.
Every person that you know is working is like
a connection
else,
that
like,
you have
in your
guys
corner,
can
in your
together.
Community.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is actually super healthy.
No,
and like
true,
healthy
yeah.
too. Like we're all trying to help each other, and I don't think it should feel like because you booked it, you don't book it.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. I mean, look, the competitive nature definitely exists in theater. Like I think we'd be lying if we said it was like I really want that. But like, you know, like it's true. At the end of the day, like once you get there, like it is collaborative. I mean, because creativity, I feel like, is something that's meant to be shared, especially with something like performing when you're working with other people.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
That's another thing that I really appreciated about Syracuse freshman year. They did not let us audition for anything freshman year. It was a non-performance year.
What the hell?
Because they wanted us to not see each other as competition. They didn't want us to get there and immediately put other people down. A lot of BFA programs will do this and some don't. But no freshman could be in, the rule specifically was you can't be a named character in a creative work. So like you could still sing cabarets and stuff and still perform or like do stand up or whatever. But they really wanted to create a culture of collaboration between the freshman class. And so that everybody was in class together, taking the same studios. And getting to know each other as artists and not seeing each other as you are the same archetype as me, so I'm gonna not be friends with you because we're gonna be competing for the same parts.
Off the record, did that work?
Sometimes.
Sarah's
with
like...
some people.
I think it was like there are ways in which I appreciate the non-performance year and
I liked
like,
it. I got there.
I
was like
oh my
it's
gosh,
it's called a non-performance year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that there were things that were negative for me about it, which was just that, like, especially coming out of COVID, it was hard because, like, we hadn't been performing in a long time, and then here you are, like, committing to a BFA, which, like, for me, was a very last-minute decision, and then not actually, you know, not, like, acting on a stage for a long time while doing that, and then it just becomes so distant. It became so distant in my mind, and I was like, "Is this? Am I like kidding myself? Like, am I actually supposed to be here doing this? I can't remember what it actually feels like to be performing on a stage."
That's fair. I actually enjoyed the non-performance because in class I felt like I could do the dumbest shit.
Yeah,
and I was like. It's okay.
It made class
exploring.
Like so fun.
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
That's, I really built up my toolkit of, like, things I could, and also things I didn't want anything to do with, but I could pick and choose what stuff I wanted to take for my next.
Can I ask a question? This is complete curiosity here, but what the retention rate between freshman year and sophomore year? Like, how many people stay?
Oh, how many people stayed?
Yeah.
Oh, we had
six dropouts.
Six people dropped out.
Out of
50.
I think it was like six. Well, because we graduated with 50, right?
Yeah.
So that means it was like 55 or 56.
So the only only dropouts were after freshman year.
Well, it's hard to transfer.
Dropped out after sophomore year of Compass.
I only ask because I feel like for like a non-performance year, like I've heard stories from other people who have been in like a BFA program where like they go and then they realize like, you know what, they're not giving me these roles. I should probably, you know.
That is how a lot of people feel. And we had a lot of people drop out to like just start auditioning and go professional. Some people transferred. Some people just decided they didn't want to act anymore.
Yeah, some people just
dropped
out.
Be an influencer.
Yeah.
Oh.
Just be an influencer, yeah.
Yeah.
Start a podcast.
Yeah. Oh. Okay. That's actually, I one more question. Okay. And this was out of chronological order.
Yeah.
Just because you mentioned something about it being a last minute decision to go and do a BFA.
Uh-huh.
What were the options and what was that dream?
Well, I didn't really start taking acting seriously until maybe the beginning of my junior year of high school, which then the COVID shutdown happened less than 6 months later.
Yeah.
And it was kind of my high school really did not do well with the shutdown just because of it was a public school and public funding was difficult and it made sort of different rules. So my work ethic kind of just went out the window. Mm. But I was before I was very STEM and I wanted to be classical music, but then these online acting classes that my brother had kind of done before me, they were usually in person but they became online for COVID, was kind of the only thing that I was doing that I would look forward to during COVID. And I kind of just immediately just I just felt very called to it or pulled to it. I don't know. And I had a great teacher and she kind of really nurtured me. And she was I think you should really give this a shot. And so when I applied to school, I applied to 50-50 BFA and BA programs.
Cool.
And I was okay, wherever I get in is what kind of program I'm going to do because I can't decide.
Spun the wheel kind of.
Yeah. And then Syracuse just worked out. It wasn't a hard decision to go there once I heard about it.
No.
But I was not someone who I would say was very recreationally interested in theater when I was in high school or anything. So Kari kind of already talked about this, but my favorite thing about going to theater school was just the wealth of just cultural knowledge you get about theater, reading all of the plays and stuff, and also just being around theater people all the time. Mm-hmm.
As exhausting as it is.
It was overwhelming. It was wow, it was culture shock. But it was, I love just building up the inner library of plays and theater.
So
yeah, it's so cool.
Well, this was a wonderful, wonderful conversation with y'all. Thank you so much for sharing your perspectives, your thoughts, your life journeys, and want to give a thank you to everyone who's watching right now, and it's just thank you so much for everything. Giving us a space to talk about these things. I think that it's so valuable. It actually I love it so much. Just getting to know y'all a little bit better, getting to just talk about theater and talking about that passion that you get, and how we all are so different, but so similar in our love for the theater. And it's just a really, really wonderful, I always have a wonderful time talking to you guys. So it's really great.
Kind of said it better.
So with that being said, this is the Ben and Noah Show.
This is the Ben and Noah Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Stay tuned with our socials and we'll catch you later.
Bye-bye.